Welcome to NFP, the Non-Fungible Podcast, with your host, Dee Klein. Hey, this is NFP, the Non-Fungible Podcast, with me, Dee Klein. Today's episode is brought to you by the Koi Network. Koi makes minting NFTs super easy and inexpensive. Just drag and drop your file using their NFT wallet, Finny, and Koi takes care of the rest. Minting costs as little as 1 cent, so you can create as many NFTs as you want. And when they're viewed by other people, you even earn Koi tokens that you can use to fund your next series. Check it out at koii.network. Hey, Empress Trash on NFP. Thank you for joining me today.
Hi, thank you for having me. I'm super excited to be here.
Right on. Yeah, it's great to finally talk to you. You know, I feel like we've been in a lot of the same circles for years.
And possibly.
For whatever reason, we've never encountered each other, right?
Possibly, yeah. I mostly hang out with like the glitch and trash artists online mm-hmm. now, and I'm from the Bay Area. I was like hanging out there a ton, and I wasn't actually very active online for a while. I was very tech phobic, but mm-hmm. I used to be really into tech, and then I got tech phobic, and then I like got back into it. But yeah, I've been around in the trash pile.
Did something happen to you that caused you to have an aversion to tech? Did something you have a negative experience? Yeah.
Well, no, I used to work in tech. I worked at startups in San Francisco and the crypto, or not the crypto bro, but the bro culture in startups, and kind of the disconnect of like tech to actually helping people. Cause I lived in like poor neighborhoods in Oakland, and there was homeless people like in my front yard. And then I would go out to work, and like, there was such a disconnect. It like made me really disillusioned, I guess. And like, just kind of rail against it for a while, not realizing it wasn't like, I finally came to the conclusion, it wasn't the tech that was the issue. Technology is neutral. Like technology is whatever we use it for. It's the culture around it. And if I don't participate in it, then like I'm not able to influence what the culture is that the tech is doing. Like, so that's why I ended up getting back into like doing a lot of stuff with tech things.
How long of a hiatus was it then? How long were you out of
the tech scene? Like 3, 4, 5 years, somewhere in there, going back and forth. Yeah, like very much like a purist, like I'm only doing physical art and I'm only like showing physically and I'm only having like in-person shows and that type of stuff. So,
because I was looking at your website and I saw kind of there's a history there. It goes back to about 2013 or so where you were showing, right?
Yeah.
And that was all physical. Yeah.
Yeah. For the most part, physical. Almost all physical. And I think too, a lot of it, like I always, like in college, I really loved digital work actually. And I loved digital painting and I studied painting, but I really liked the like animation and like using like Photoshop and Procreate was just like coming around when I was in college and stuff like that. But I actually like, I had to like fight with my professor, painting professors a lot, because they didn't consider digital painting like a true form of painting, like that whole argument, you know what I mean? So I do really like digital work, and like I always have been into it. And even when I was like really like, oh, screw technology, I still was like dabbling in it. It wasn't like, it just wasn't like a thing to display. And also a big thing is I wanted to make a living off my art and selling my art. And the only way I understood previous to crypto was to have physical things like prints and actual paintings and stuff like that. So that also led to me like focusing on physical, like not that it's just like I'm chasing money, but it's like, I do want to have like,
you gotta live.
I want to live. Yeah. And I want to like, I don't want to have to work in startups and I don't want to have to work for other people. I want to just make art. So yeah. And I think like with like crypto art and NFT technology and blockchain stuff, it's like really allowed for me to like be like, okay, like I can explore my digital work more and be able to dive deep into that and still be able to make a like somewhat of a living off of it. And it's like sometimes it's great, sometimes it's slow, like anything with art sales, but like overall, like I'm really like I'm deep in it and I'm so thankful and I love it so much because I feel like it's like I've had my journey, but I've wanted to like be in the digital space, if that makes
Right.
any sense.
So can you think of a moment where, you were in the tech scene and, was there something that kind of just made you go, forget it, I don't want to be a part of this anymore? Was there a moment that you
I think it was
kind of saw that, or, yeah.
accumulative of like micro moments, and also
Okay.
like I was working for, I worked a lot for like kind of art and interior design adjacent tech startups. So like a lot of what I would be doing was curation or like production flow of like images and like art archival stuff. And I know for me, one I was working at, they're closed now, so I don't even care if I call them out. It was called Moveloot. And they had these like issues systemic, like within their systems that were set up, and not like bugs, like technical, like it was how the system was set up that it just wasn't like making life easy for like the workers in the warehouse. And it was like no matter how much feedback was being given from like the warehouse workers and from like people like me who is like kind of bridging between warehouse and them, like I felt like again that disconnect of like the humanity behind it and like really thinking about, well, how can you better your workers' lives with this and not exploit them? And I saw like a lot of tech companies still, and still I see them, we still see them where it's like more about, well, how can we keep further design systems to exploit labor instead of helping like ease the human condition. And it like that for me fundamentally was very frustrating, even working within it and being someone trying to advocate for like, well, we can make this tech do whatever we want. Why don't we make people's lives better? And that wasn't well received by people who were more focused on money and the bottom line. But also that company closed and they never listened to me. So I don't know, like maybe people should have listened to me. That's it.
Do you think it
But
was a
not,
case of just falling on deaf ears, or was it something where it was,
yeah. And it wasn't
yeah?
fitting in the narrative. It wasn't fitting in like their overall agenda. And it's one of those things. It's just they have their version of how things are done and startups are started and made successful. And their end goal was to sell the company, not to build anything
Right.
sustainable, long lasting. A lot of startups, it is that. Like, it's just, and I see that in Web3 too. Like, some of these, like KO being sold to eBay, it's like, they're trying to, they're not necessarily thinking about making a long-term sustainable product that they're going to have their hands in. They're thinking about making something that's valuable enough to sell. And that's a different mindset than thinking about like sustainability in general, if that makes
You
any
know, on the
sense.
KO situation in particular, I've noticed, like, both you and me, that's probably some of our highest volume sales are on no margin, right? And that was my home. That was my home for a long time. I do still occasionally mint there. I'm not like, like, no, I'm not minting there. I don't know. It doesn't feel the same.
Doesn't. And I think too, a lot into that coming from like my bougie curation art side is just like KO really worked on building up this reputation of curating, but also like helping artists, not being
Yep.
jerks about it. Like they had like a few
Has that
moments.
changed? Are they not doing that
I don't
anymore?
think it's changed, but what's changed is they put the eBay name with it. And eBay and the traditional art world doesn't really have like a high like
No, I sell my
bar.
art on eBay. Yeah,
Yeah,
no, it's not
it
a great
doesn't.
ring to it. To be
Yeah.
fair, I mean, it's just eBay owning Known Origin. I mean, Known Origin still exists and functions, you know, as it did prior to this, for the most part, from what
Exactly.
you can, like, any observer wouldn't even know they're owned by eBay. So is that
Yeah.
necessarily a bad thing? I mean, maybe eBay is just looking at that tech going, hey, this is something we can incorporate
Yeah.
into our website with different things, and they're going to leave Known Origin as it is. I mean, they have so far. What do you think?
I think they have. I haven't minted on there since the eBay announcement because I made an announcement. Like, I'm gonna wait to see how this plays out before I like
Okay.
keep putting more art in there. And I'm also like, I really like Manifold now, and like my sales aren't as high with that yet, but I think in the long term, having my own contract is like better for me and maybe artists in general. But I have been watching, and I do know KO like sales have dipped a lot, and I know like demand of like artists has dipped a lot. So I do
Yeah.
think like there has
That's,
been a
I think,
change in
across
like,
all platforms, wouldn't you say?
yeah, it's across all platforms.
Yeah.
But and it's also like it's what it is, and it's like I'm just gonna keep watching it and playing it out. But like a lot of my collectors, half of them were like F eBay. And then half of them were like, wherever you want to mint, like, we don't care. So I think it really comes down to like my personal decision on that. But it's also like, I tend to be an anti-corporate establishment person. So it's really hard. Like, it's a hard thing to like navigate. So
Yep.
that's why I'm like, I'm
It's
just going to go on a hiatus. I'm not going to like say I'm never going to, but I am going to take a break for a long time. So.
Right. Yeah, and I see you've also joined Super Rare. Is that through a Spaces then that you did that? Is that with
Through Spaces,
the Joy of NFTs?
yeah, and NFT Girl and enjoying NFTs. Like my first video interview was with her on
Oh
her
yeah.
Joy on an FT show, and I met her at South by Southwest, and someone introduced us, and she really liked. I gave her a damsel sticker, and she really loved it. She thought it was super, like some of the best art she's seen in a while, which was kind of a huge compliment because it wasn't even
For sure.
animated. It was just like the sticker. And so she wanted to interview me. And then part of being on her Joy NFT show is you start a piece on the show and then it gets minted. She was working on it at the time and then it got announced later, but that it would be minted, the final piece in her Joy NFT Super Rare Gallery. And they curated it actually and put it in their Soho gallery now for their
Wow.
Spaces show. So it's in there
Okay.
like as the like till the 25th. So as of right now that we're talking, but like whenever this is published, I don't know.
Yeah.
So
No, I
it's
was let me ask you about
exciting.
that. You know, is the Super Rare Soho location, I know it's being closed now. Was
Yeah.
that intended to be a temporary thing or is it just a market situation? I don't
I
know.
think
I
it's a
just saw
pop
that they
they always marketed it as a pop-up. So
did they?
pop-up
Okay.
meeting. Yeah, that's how it's always been marketed. I don't know all the details exactly. I actually have very little direct communication with Super Rare. I've been talking to
Right.
NFT Girl mostly and then the curator for the gallery there. And that's it. Like I can't like speak a lot on like what their
Right.
thing is. But I do know they've always marketed it as a pop-up.
Okay. I just thought that was kind of unfortunate or sad that, you know, they were closing that. But I guess if that was the
Yeah.
intention all along, you know.
Yeah, and maybe they're gonna find a new space and something bigger and cooler.
I'm guessing gallery space in Soho is not cheap.
Yeah. I would guess. And also I think they wanted something there for NFT NYC is what I'm through
Okay.
my thinking. And then they probably had like, you have to sign a lease for so long or something. You know what I mean? Like however
Right.
realtors do that type of stuff. So
Yeah. Well, it is in New York, one of the worst places right now for rent getting jacked up on everything. Isn't that the case?
I think so. I'm
Yeah.
in
Like,
Mexico, so I don't know. I don't know all your rent problems.
I'm up in Alberta,
I'm
so
less
I don't have that
America
problem either.
because
Real, okay,
of
let's talk about that. You left America because of that. Explain.
well, America's going crazy, man.
Yeah.
But
I'm in Canada, so, you know.
so actually, and I was living in the Bay Area until pretty much like December last year, January of this year, and then I decided to go nomadic. And part of that is my rent was insane. Like I was
Yep.
paying $1,500 a month for a room in a crappy old Victorian house where I couldn't even drink the water. Like,
Wow.
yeah,
Like a
that.
room in a house, not a house, the room.
Yes,
Yes.
a
Okay.
room in a house. And I mean, the reason I was in the Bay Area was because of my art and because I
Yeah.
was work. And with COVID, neither of those things were happening on a local level.
Right.
And there was a lot of other toxic things going on in my personal life. Like I don't want to get into all that, but just a lot of bad stuff. And so I just like decided, well, I'm full time in this and like crypto art thing, full time in NFTs. I just got back from like Art Basel and saw like how cool the world can be. I decided to go nomadic. And during that time, I went through Southern California and then Arizona, New Mexico, and then to Austin. And then I backtracked to LA because I had a speaking engagement and a show there. And then when I was in LA, I'm like, I actually put a poll online on Twitter. I'm like, which direction should I go? North to like Oregon, back east, get to Florida, or Tijuana? And everyone, like, Tijuana was like
The
voted. And I'm
universal
like,
choice.
yeah, I'm like, you know what? Huff it. I'm going to Mexico. Like, I don't have to be anywhere. And while I was in Tijuana, I was there for like a few months, just kind of decompressing because going like so much happened in the first like few months of this year that like it was just my mind was melting. Like, I can't believe all this happened like with my career. And I was in Tijuana decompressing, and then the Roe v. Wade stuff
Oh,
happened.
yeah.
And I was on the fence then debating, well, am I gonna go back to America? And like I was thinking of going to LA and trying to like, I don't make enough as an artist to like live in LA permanently, but I was like, oh, I can find a part-time job there and still do the crypto art thing. Like I've done that before in my life and get like a little studio or something and like just trying to like make it work. And I was debating between that or just like F it and going in like deeper into Mexico. And the Roe v. Wade thing kind of swayed me back to being like, I'm just staying in Mexico for a while. And like, even though California isn't like stripping rights away, it's still like, it's a huge thing. Like, for a woman, like bodily autonomy, federal protections being rolled back is not a good sign. So yeah, then after Tijuana, I came down. I stayed in a small fishing village on the Pacific side in Baja Sur just to like see what it was like, connect with people, and like kind of reset and connect with myself because the internet was really spotty. So I had a lot of excuses to not like do anything. And then now I'm here in La Paz, which is like 2 hours north of Cabo and like way at the end of the Baja Peninsula. And it's gorgeous here. It's like the capital of Baja Sur. It's actually like a city. It's very nice,
It's
good
actually like a
Wi-Fi.
city.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was in like a village
Right,
for a
okay,
bit.
okay.
And then and it was crazy. And like it was good. I loved it. But it was like I haven't been in that small of a place in a while. I mean, besides I was in like rural desert and stuff, but I mean this was like very close-knit village situation, and it was really like I loved it, and I'm gonna go back someday.
Right.
Like, love me there, and I love them, but like being there 24/7, I couldn't do it. And yeah, now I'm in La Paz, and here in next month for the non-NFT summit, I'm going to Mexico City, but for the indefinite future, I plan on staying in Mexico because rent is cheap here.
Right.
Food is good here. Food is cheap here. People are kind and warm. There are issues here, like with cartel stuff. But honestly, when I lived in Oakland, so comparative violence, when I lived in Oakland, I would hear gunshots 2 to 3 times a week.
Wow.
And here, I've been here since April. Granted, I was in the middle of nowhere for a while, but I've been here since April and I haven't heard one gunshot since I've been to Mexico.
Yeah, you
Now,
wonder
I've
like how much of that is just the way, like, there's so many shows, you think of shows like Breaking Bad or Narcos or whatever, and there's this mainstream kind of media portrayal of Mexico as this like highly dangerous place. Now, granted, there are dangerous situations, right? And there
Anywhere
is
in the
violent
world.
crime. There are violent crime problems, but I wonder like how much of that is just the way we perceive it because of that.
It is a lot of that because my experience, I'm a single solo woman with my dog traveling through here, and I have not had any situations that have made me be like, this is not a good scene. And I'm used to traversing like somewhat dangerous spaces, so like I'm not afraid of that, but it's like here it's been like so much. I've felt safer traveling alone in Mexico, I'm not gonna lie, than I have in some a lot of parts of the United States.
Wow.
And there are some spots definitely in Mexico where I'm like, ooh, I don't know, but nothing happened, you know what I mean? And everyone is really helpful and like kind, and like they, I think too, here in Baja, there is a sense of like nature can kill you here, like, because it's
Okay, same as
desert, there's
Canada.
no, same as Canada. Well, I'm from Northern Minnesota originally, so
All
I get
right,
that.
so very
Yeah,
similar, yeah.
I get that. So I think like there's like a priority shift when it's like, well, like I can go in the desert and die like within a day or two, and like we need each other to survive, type of thing. And I think there's a bigger sense of community here, even for foreigners coming in. Like, granted, not everyone likes Americans coming down here, but they actually, a lot of people have told me that I've like met and talked to that since Trump, a lot of Americans are coming down here, and it's more and more becoming just like part of the culture here. And there actually is a lot of building boom around here because so many people are like transplanting down here. So it is a thing. Like, I'm not just
How is that for you living
weirdo.
there and just kind of being there on your own? Like, was that difficult? Like, loneliness, like just being
Yeah.
disconnected, isolating.
Yeah. And I don't know
Yeah.
Spanish very well either.
Okay. Like, that to me would be the toughest part.
It is, but I do. I when I left Oakland, I really wanted a lot of alone time. I was living in like a communal situation again with a lot of toxicity, and I've been kind of loving being left alone and like the isolation. I'm starting to get to a point that I want to connect with people more, definitely. But that's why I'm here in La Paz, and there's actually a great art scene here that I'm gonna like soon get into. Right now it is insanely hot here. This is the hottest month, so no one is really going out right now. Like, some people do, but most people like are just hanging out in their air conditioning and kind of waiting for this month to be over. But I do know some people here, like one of my curator friends, her mom lives here permanently, and she's connected with like a lot of the local art scene. I've met a couple artists here already, and there's actually like open mics and like different things like that. So I'm definitely gonna go out and like actually like hang out with some of the artists here and get to know them, because there is like a thriving scene here. There is actually a crypto artist here I finally found out, because I'm like, is there any other crypto artists here? But one of the major muralists from here is in like NFTs and crypto art, so I'm hoping to connect
Okay.
with them too.
What's
So
their name?
Bay, I hold on, let me check. Boo the Warrior, BUE.
BUE.
The Warrior.
All right on. Followed.
So I'm hoping to, like, I sent him a thing, but I'm hoping to connect with him. The art scene is big here, but it's not like so big that it's so hard to like not meet people, you know? Like, it's a quarter million people here, so it's a bigger city, but it's not like mega city,
So
so
there must be a sense of peace, though, having made that change. Like, I just think about, how the COVID, situation over the last few years, it forced a lot of people to kind of rethink, like, what do they want to do? Like, what do they want to accomplish in their lives, or what are they passionate about? And with that, a lot of people had the shift to remote work. And since then, a lot of people, they call it the Great Resignation, where there's a lot of jobs they just can't find people to work them because people are like, nope, I'm not doing that job anymore, right?
No,
And
because you treat us like crumb bones.
right. So is the next step the great, the great, what's the word when you leave a country? I can't think of the word right now.
Exodus.
The Great Exodus, yeah. Is that the next
It's
step?
happening already. Like, there's actually, if you research articles about people transplanting to Mexico City and like this area, but Mexico City is actually like a lot of Americans are moving there, and it's becoming like a little bit of a co cultural conflict issue, especially when you're dealing with like any people who are like maybe coming from white entitlement and not respecting the local culture. But overall, yeah, there is like the exodus has been starting, and it is starting because it's like, why live in somewhere where like violence is pervasive, rights are being stripped away, rent is completely unaffordable. You know, there's a lot of good food, the stores are cool, but everything's expensive comparatively. But like, I have a whole apartment, one bedroom apartment to myself here for $500 a month.
Wow, okay. A lot more affordable.
Yeah, and I want to be an artist, and I
Yep.
don't like my sales ebb and flow. So
Sure, of
for
course.
me to be here, I can make my money go farther and not stress about pushing sales so much, and I can focus on the art more. And that is a huge relief for me. Like, go from $1,500 to $500 a month in rent. Like, that is a relief. And
Sure.
if America wants people to stay there, I think the rent issue is the big issue that needs to be resolved. And making affordable housing for people, because there just is not affordable. No matter where you go, after traveling like a bunch of America, I can tell you, no matter where you go, there just isn't really affordable housing comparatively.
Well, I mean, they keep talking about this impending housing crash with the interest rate hikes, you know, and the last time that happened, you know, you had these big conglomerates coming in and buying neighborhoods.
Yeah.
Right, you know, and since then we have this massive affordability issue. You know, so the plus side of the rising interest rates is maybe you do have a housing crash and you know, oh no, it's so terrible, people can afford a home. Do you know what I mean? Like,
Oh no,
that's the
people
irony of it, right?
Oh no, God forbid people have affordable
You know, but of course, you know, you're paying higher interest rates, so is it really more affordable? I don't know. You know, like, you know, everything's you're paying more interest on everything. You know, it's a
Yeah,
complicated problem, of course. You know, it's not a
it is.
simplistic solution. It's the same problem in Canada. I mean, if you go to any major city center in Canada, especially Vancouver and Toronto, the biggest ones, it's impossible to live there. Like, you know, the average house in Vancouver is like $1.3 million or something like
Yeah,
that. Like,
something
come
like
on,
that.
right? You know, so we're having in Canada more of a phenomenon of people moving to smaller cities. They're leaving the really big, expensive cities.
Yeah.
So,
I think there is a migration within America that's happening too. I do know it started with a lot of people leaving California to go to like Texas and Florida.
right.
I've been in California, so I just know the California dynamics the most. I
Yeah.
don't know East Coast the most. But that happened with COVID because a lot of the reason people stayed in California is because, oh, there's all this cool stuff to do. But then COVID,
Sure.
everything closed down. And I think it made people like step back and be like, well, why am I here? Like, California is awesome. I love California, don't get me wrong. But it's like, is it worth like an insane amount to like live here?
You
And
have to
even
work your ass off just to survive.
or be really lucky and like or know
Yeah.
the right people and get the like higher paying jobs. And yeah, it's still, but you still, those jobs that even the ones that get paid a lot, like they expect you to throw your whole life into them. Like
Sure.
there's very little work-life separation. I've seen it over and over again. So like it's still like it, you have to like decide it's a lifestyle at that point. And do you like you do get time for yourself, but it's like really you are that job. That is what happens. So yeah, it's
Yeah, I wanted to
interesting.
ask you a different topic here, maybe back to
Yeah,
art
let's
a
get
little
up.
bit. I
Sorry.
was listening to you talk about your creation of damsels as a response, I think it was, to this, was it Fame Lady Squad? That was
Yeah.
actually created by like three Russian dudes or something like that,
Three
who
dudes,
kind of
three Russian dudes
claimed to
in
be
a
doing
trench
like
coat.
this female empowerment type thing, right?
Yeah.
Like, talk about that.
So yeah, it started like a little over a year ago, and when Fame Lady Squad came around, it was like, oh, we're a female-led team, we're all women.
Right.
And they actually reached out to me and they're like, oh, do you like you want to help support us? We're going to be like, when we mint out, we're going to send money to domestic abuse survivors, which I'm a survivor of a lot of stuff. So it's like anytime someone is like, oh, we're going to send money to domestic abusers. I'm like, hell yeah. Or not
Sure.
domestic, but domestic abuse survivors.
Right. Yes, of course.
Very bad misspeak.
I'll put that on TikTok or something. No, I'm just kidding.
but yeah, and then it like very quick, like it minted out. It was pretty popular because it was one of the first, like, oh, this is a woman-led PFP project.
Yes.
And then it came out, they weren't who they said they were. The community got pissed. I got pissed. And for them, eventually they handed the keys over to the community, and it's run by Board Becky and NFT Ignition. And NFT Ignition is actually one of my big supporters. So
She's
weirdly enough,
awesome. I've had her on my
she's
show.
awesome. She's
Yeah.
amazing.
Yeah.
But I was pissed. I was
Yeah.
hurt, pissed. I'm get very emotionally invested in all this. And I at that point for me, I really loved yelling on the internet, and I still do, but I realized there's more power in creating art to yell on the internet with
Sure.
than just yelling. And so I was like, well, I want to make something where it's like women's bodies, like feminine expression made by, I'm a woman. Like, I know I'm a woman. I'm not hiding from myself in that. And I decided to make Damsels. So Damsels is like really about that and a lot of other things. There's a lot of layers to it, but it's also just like, so the other things it's about is like sex work, destigmatizing that. Also like they're not in stress. They're just damsels hanging out. Like, women don't always have to be in distress to be like loved and observed and like, you know, cherished. Like, we can be in a like happy and like self-sustaining and independent too. And there's also like queer bodies in it. So like there's transgender bodies in it, because, and like all sorts of bodies in it. Like big ladies, I'm a big lady, small ladies, all types of things, because it's, I really feel there is like divine femininity in all of us. Even male bodies have like a feminine side to them and feminine energies in them. It's part of the balance of like everything. There's just masculine and feminine energy, and there's like a gradient of that, a scale of
Like a
that, like
spectrum, yeah.
spectrum, that's the word, thank you. And then also they're all kind of like self-portraits too, because I have like really
Okay.
body dysmorphia from trauma, and they help, like they're kind of like, some of them are, I literally went to like a burlesque show and like drew sketches from burlesque or took pictures and like made them from that, and some are that, but a lot of them are like kind of like, I realized like months into it, like how I feel in the moment, like how I feel my body looks, and like not necessarily looking in the mirror, but just how I feel that it looks. And they're all like, each of them kind of has somewhat of a self-portrait in them. All art does, but like these do very much so too. And then also there was another point in there. They're just fun. They wiggle. Oh, and there's cryptid ones too. The cryptid ones are like, they're there to be fun. And I just like the idea, like I'm also like very much like animist. Like, I think like even inanimate objects have energy in them. And I just think it's fun. And it's also like sometimes when you're a marginalized person, you don't feel human. You feel like an alien or the Loch Ness monster or a tree. And I've had moments that I've felt like that. And also when I've been on hallucinogens, but I felt like that.
I missed
But
that, sorry. When you've been on what? Sorry.
hallucinogenics,
Oh,
that I
okay.
felt like that. But it's just a thing. It's like sometimes you don't feel human, and that's okay too. Like, all of it is like kind of a celebration and like transmuting the anger of like all that situation and also a whole bunch of other stuff. And then like being like, oh, I'm gonna put it in like bright wiggly colors and have fun with this. And it's fun. I love
Yep.
it.
Now you are the Procreate glitch master. When I look at your work, I'm like, oh yeah, I see what she did there. She's got the chromatic aberration with a little bit of a halftone effect, and then she moved the frame, and then you know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of tools you're using there that I enjoy using. I was going to ask you, what's your favorite, modus operandi when it comes to procreate, when you're creating pieces like that? What do you really, feel looks the most pleasing to you? What's the process?
Well, my major process is I start the best works start with line work
Right.
and then animating line work and then coloring. I have done reverse where I start with just like color and then do line work over it, and those are really cool. I like them. And I just don't know if they're as tight though. Like,
Right, I know what you mean.
but they do bring out something else. And so I usually, yeah, I start with the line work and I animate that, and then I go in and color it. And I think one of my favorite things to do is because I make like a, I've figured out to make a separate layer for coloring on each layer. And then I select just like the edges of the color, not the line, and then feather it. And then I do a half tone on that. And I do that on each color layer in the animation. And it causes this, and I'll do chromatic aberration too. And but just on the edges, and it does the, it's like one of my favorite like cool little effects that like I
How are you
figured
doing
out.
it just on the edges? Like, how are you
So
creating a separate layer that is only the edges and then doing it to that layer, or what?
I have the like line layer, and then I have the coloring layer, and then I have the background layer. And the
Yes.
coloring layer, I go in and I just select it. So if you go to the layer, you go boop, select, like click the layer and it select. And then the selection tool comes up, and then what I do is I invert it, and then I go to feather, and then I feather it down. So it's like inverting it to select what isn't the color, and then I feather it back in, is how I do it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wild. I've never tried that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And then, yeah, and then like just the edges of the color, and then I can like do different effects on just the edges of the color, and then I do it differently on each layer.
Okay.
Like just so there's that weird like a few of my animations have this like, ooh, the bubbles are kind of like doing their thing or glitching around the edges, that type of stuff.
Now, of course, you're big on the Tezos blockchain. That's a lot of your work, right? And now, of course, ETH has gone through this transformation where it is now proof of stake, and it's not, carbon, not occupying a huge carbon footprint anymore. Does that change your approach, or was it about that ever for you?
Never was really about that for
It
me.
was more about just Tezos being a little more cheaper to mint kind of idea.
Cheaper to mint, and I love a lot of the artists on there, and a lot of the artists come from South and Central America, and because it's more accessible to them still, even like gas prices dropping on ETH has been very good, and a lot of the more popular South and Central American artists are being able to afford minting on ETH more, but still Tezos is cheaper.
Sure. Yeah, it
Sorry,
is.
like
Yeah.
it still is, like
So what
not
do you
just
think,
in
like in a year, if
coin.
ETH is successful with all this sharding stuff and the gas fees are like dirt cheap, like will that be kind of a rebirth for ETH for a lot of people around the world that can't afford it right now?
I think so. And also, it would be amazing, and I put this out there, if there was a way to, like, if ETH really wants to eat Tezos up, you have to be able to, like, easily port your work from Tezos to the ETH chain. And because a lot of us, like, it's one of those things, it's like we have I have so much work, but so many artists have so many different pieces on there that, like, to just be like, oh, I'm gonna totally drop this chain that I've been working on for a while now is gonna be not an easy sell. Like, even to me,
Well, I don't mean
I'm
this to be a shill, but the Coin
no.
Network, they sponsor my show, but that's actually, they're all about the cross-chain
I am about the cross chain.
NFTs.
That is fundamentally like I feel like it is decentralization in action. And like just be a one chain maxi like is not something I will adhere to. And I actually kind of shy away from people who are, just because it's not, it's centralized then. It's one chain. Why can't we have all these different chains? Recently, like yesterday, I was in DOSPunk Spaces, and actually Max Capacity has been really trying to sell me on Bitcoin minting on there. And Rob was in there, Rob Ness was in there too, and he's like, you're getting on there. It's like, get on there. So I'm actually gonna be probably doing that soon too. So it's like, I'm like, yes, I'm big on Tezos. I do Ethereum. I actually have work on Near protocol too, and I'm always interested in exploring more. The only reason I don't have anything on Sol is I don't like how, like, there just seems to be a lot of like network hacks and weird stuff that
They've
goes
had a
on
lot of
there.
issues.
And I just don't want to deal with that mess. And other things, I just haven't like really gotten into them, like Cardano or Wax or
So
all
with
of
the
that.
Bitcoin, it's the counterparty, I'm assuming, is what you'd be looking at. Is that the, yeah. I've never actually tried it myself. Is it
I haven't either
cheap to
yet.
mint with it? Is it affordable to mint on it?
I'm told it's pretty affordable. It's pretty
Okay.
affordable. I mean, I'm gonna probably be diving into it soon here. I mean, there's so many things going on. It's hard to like, when a new thing comes, it's like, really, I have to learn new stuff. But I will do it. I will do it. I promise to Robin.
I'm the same way. I usually kind of take a while to, adapt to the new thing. When Tezos was new and Hikit Nunk was all the rage, and I saw everybody minting there. Robness was minting like crazy there, and I didn't jump in right away because I have this kind of fear of the new thing, like that it's going to somehow, collapse or whatever. Now, in the case of Hikit Nunk, it basically did. But,
It did.
Tezos itself, of course, did not,
And the
So
community of artists around it did
I.
not. And they came
Right,
together and made
exactly.
Gaia. And then there was object.com too. And that was the thing. I never fully had faith in Hen, but I had faith in the community around it, and they did not prove me wrong. I had like put my trust in a lot of different artists and developers in Tezos, and being very much like Tezos, 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 and how all of that played out, it was stressful. But at the end of the day, like, the community pulled together, and it was one of the most beautiful things that I've seen happen. Like, where it was kind of like real decentralization, like in action. There was no one person being like, we need to do this, we need to do that. It was a lot of people coming together and being like, well, we should like mirror this. And like, after Hen crashed, there was like how many different sites mirroring it and like being able to like still transact. And it's just like, that's wonderful. That to me is like what it's all about. Like, not necessarily any coin, but like how people did
Totally.
that.
Well, and I think we'll get past that eventually, right? Right now it's so tied to speculation and value and everybody looking at, oh, this is the blockchain that's going to go up in value or whatever, that kind of talk. And eventually I think that won't really be the discussion anymore, right?
I think it always will be there with economists.
I suppose you're right.
Like,
Maybe I'm too optimistic.
I've said a few times, like, I'm an artist, not an economist. Like, I know art. I don't know numbers, how they're going to go up and down. I just know I'm going to make more art, and I know other artists are going to make more art, and we're going to keep making art.
Earlier you mentioned the idea of like yelling into the internet void and then shifting to using art, as a way to be, express your thoughts. And it reminds me of the spaces I have coming up on Wednesday. I was hoping you could join me
Yeah,
on
I'm
Wednesday. It
totally
was
joining you.
Wednesday at noon Pacific, everybody. And the goal of the discussion is to talk about art as an act of rebellion, using art to force change. And I was curious, obviously, with all the work you've done, you mentioned damsels. Where do you stand with that? Like, where is there things coming up that you feel you need to make a statement about? I mean, you talked about Roe v. Wade, for example. Are
I've made
there
that.
other
I made
issues that
art around
you're.
them.
Sorry, go ahead.
I made art around Roe v. Wade. It got me. That was the drama. I
Oh,
don't want
explain.
to
Or do you
No.
want to talk about it?
No, I mean, I just like posted it, and I'm totally calling out a huge whale right now, but I tag Cosmo Medici in it, like his Medici minutes, and it got me blocked by Medici. And then I was just like, why did I get blocked? And I didn't know that he was blocking people who were using his hashtag. And I threw a little bit of a hissy fit, and I got unblocked because I was like, this is my piece about women beings' rights being like stripped away, and I'm getting blocked for
You blocked me for that,
it.
right?
Yeah,
That's a
but
bad
I
look.
think that's a bad look. And but he unblocked me, and that's it, all's well that ends well. And I just think they didn't look at the content of the work. They were just mass blocking whoever is running the account. Yeah, I did do Roe v. Wade, but for the future, sorry. For future art, I'm always doing stuff around being a woman. I'm a woman. It's what informs my work. And right now I'm like deep into VR painting, and I actually
Okay.
started a YouTube channel this last week, and of just like documenting my VR like fun stuff and like painting. And so it's like half like talking about VR, half talking about crypto art a little bit, and then half talking about like just painting and like doing art in general. And it's me just rambling while I'm working on stuff. It's nothing very structured at all. It's like I just film while I'm working and then throw it up on YouTube, because I just feel like it's so easy to document in VR goggles like what you're doing. It's like, why not do it? Just share it with people.
Do you get the motion sick feeling?
Yeah, I've had to work through it a lot. I end videos, I'm like, I'm sick, gotta end them, bye. But it's getting better. Like at first it was like a half hour where I could go, and now I can go almost 2 hours. So it does get better the more you use it. So I'm definitely like I'm exploring that deeply and focusing on that. But then I also like I'm joking around a lot. I'm making art for aliens because I'm tired of making art for myself or for humans or collectors. So like I'm kind of joking around that like a lot of my work is now just for aliens, because I want them to come. I want them to see my work and think it's really cool, and then be like, "Oh, she gets to leave Earth with us and make art."
Leave this trash bin behind.
Yeah. That's the joke. But no, when it comes, I never know. Like I'm very much, it's just like I tend to be somewhat reactive to things. I'm proactive in some things and I'm reactive to others. And I mean, I'm always going to be talking, I'm going to be making more damsels. I still have to finish that collection. I took a hiatus on it, so there's definitely going to be more of those coming. My work is always traversing like different things around like the ideas of consumption and feminism and some political things, like capitalism in general, and like a lot of big issues that are very like critical and also like mocking. I realize I mock a lot in my art, and that may be not nice.
It
I don't know.
still
But it's
feels better
okay.
than doing it in a text on like Facebook or
Yeah.
something.
Yeah. It's still, it's getting all that out. And it's like those thoughts and words are just as valid as like any like happy, good things that I feel. And I make art that's like happy, good feeling too. It's just, I think people are more attracted to when someone's like, fuck you. Sorry for the language, but it's like when someone says that, like people are like, oh, damn, she really said that. Then like, oh, I love you all. Like, you're all the best. And people are like, yeah,
There's
okay.
something more real about it, right?
So I don't know. I never know fully what I'm going to do. I'm definitely going to Mexico City for the non-NFT summit to hang out with people. And I'll be making a ton of work in between here and then, and it will happen.
Right on. That's
Things
awesome.
will happen.
Well, hey, thank you very much for spending this time with me. I do look forward to our chat on Wednesday. That'll be cool.
Yeah, I'm really
And
excited.
I really appreciate you taking time to chat with me today.
You too. Thank you very much. It's been great.
Yeah,
Talk to
so cool you're living
you
down in Mexico. That's awesome.
later.
Right on. Okay, I hope you get a break from the hot weather soon.
Yeah, I'm in air conditioning. It's fine.
It's all good, yeah.
I just want to go to the beach and it's too hot. Life, very hard life.
Doesn't sound too bad. All
Yeah.
right. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Okay, take care. Thanks again for listening to the Non-Fungible Podcast. See you again soon.